Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful weather in St. Louis. It's perfect for Evolution Festival this weekend at Forest Park. And Jeff Jarrett, who is the Senior VP and Partner at Contemporary Productions, is going to come in here and talk about the festival at the bottom of the hour. He's going to bring a friend in, James Welburn, who is with a band called His Lordship. James is also the lead guitar player for Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders. And his band, His Lordship, is, I think I described it earlier, as like it's like Chuck Berry meets the White Stripes meets Jerry Lee Lewis. Something along those lines. I don't know. It's very cool. So we'll have James and Jeff here at the bottom of the hour. Dan Reardon with an update on the Ryder Cup. Not going so great for the Americans. Maybe trending a little bit better here this afternoon, but it's been a rough day at Bethpage in the Black Course on Long Island in New York. We have a St. Louis native who is a guest for us on the 5 o'clock hour tonight, Leland Vittert. He's a former KMOX intern of Charlie Brennan, former Fox News reporter. He's now with News Nation. He's written a book called Born Lucky, A Dedicated Father, A Grateful Son, and My Journey with Autism. Leland Vittert, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis. How are you?
Good. I feel like I'm cheating on my roots of KMOX, but I am glad to be with you.
Well, you know what's funny is, you know, I don't know if you know this about me, but I did 15 years of Afternoon Drive on KMOX, and I would always hear you on Charlie's show, and I knew a little bit about you, but I'm not, you know, I don't poach guests, so I never invited you to my show. But of course, I saw you on Fox. I knew that you left Fox. You're at News Nation right now. But I will tell you, and I just got the digital copy of the book, I had no idea about your story, which is absolutely fascinating. And it's really kind of a bit of a, at least at the beginning part of the book, because I'm not through too much of it right now. It's really a love letter to your father, Mark, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, it is. And people in St. Louis will know my dad, Mark, and he didn't tell anybody about my diagnosis of autism. And I think it's really fitting that we're coming back to St. Louis to launch the book tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Charlie's going to interview me. So you think about the bookends of that from 25 years ago out at the St. Charles City County Library in St. Peter's. So if you want more information on that Born Lucky book, .com, and you can RSVP to the event. And, you know, big part of this, Mark, was that my dad didn't tell anybody. I was 5 years old, and in preschool, they said, hey, you need to go get your kid evaluated. You imagine what that does to any parent. So they take me out to some medical building and sit there in the waiting room with the uncomfortable chairs and old magazines and stale coffee. And the woman walks out and says, you know what? There's a lot going on in this kid, and we don't really understand what's going on in his mind. He's got a severe learning disability. He has all these behavior problems. He has, they call it a pervasive developmental disorder, on and on. And my dad goes, well, what can we do? She says, not much. And he goes, anything we can do. And she said, generally not. So you think about how hopeless and helpless my dad felt. And this book is to give hope. And there's a lot of stories in Born Lucky about real hope for families, not just of kids dealing with autism, but for every family who has a kid with autism, ADHD, anxiety, any of the difficulties of growing up, that parents can make an enormous difference.
You had a wonderful, and you know, all books like this have forewords, but let me say this, George Will's foreword is quite something, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, George Will wrote the foreword. One of the great parts about moving to D.C. has been becoming friends with him. And so Mr. Will wrote the foreword, and my dad wrote the afterword, and I had to fill 240 pages in the middle, which was a challenge to live up to. And the end of George Will's foreword, I think, is the most powerful line of the book. And he said, "This book is proof of the mountain-moving power of parental love." And it's easy to say, like, look, Vittert, you've gone through 43 years of not telling anybody, and now you go, hey, I'm going to tell everybody. Why? And I wrote the book, and my dad has not wanted to have any publicity himself about this. He says, I'm not a hero. In the afterword, he says, I did what any father would do, which is try to help my kid. But I asked him when he was sort of uncomfortable about telling the story, I said, what if somebody had handed you this book when I was diagnosed? And his eyes lit up, and he said, it would have changed how I thought about it.
That's right.
And there's so many families now who feel so alone, and this is proof you're not alone.
So let me get a handle on the dates here in the era. You were born, what year were you born?
August of 1982 at Barnes Hospital.
Okay, so you are born severely cross-eyed, right? You had surgery when you were just 6 months old to correct that.
Yeah, I was kind of cartoon-like in how cross-eyed I was. And I was highly uncoordinated, unathletic, still am, but was much worse back then.
But you start, you know, going through those younger years, and I guess they determined at some point, and I think you write that you were socially lost but intellectually advanced. And I found one thing interesting. They give you an IQ test at one point when they're trying to assess what's going on with you, Leland. And explain, there's this really, really high score on one end and then a different score on the other end. And there's this 68-point spread that's discussed. Explain what that means, because they had said they'd never seen a spread like that with a test like this.
Right. So one of the tests that I went through is this IQ test where they try to figure out, well, maybe you have learning disabilities. A 20-point spread between the two halves of an IQ test is a learning disability. I had, as you pointed out, a 68-point spread. They said it was the largest they ever had. So I was a genius in some things or in some ways, and I was, in the parlance of the day, mentally retarded in others. But I think a big part of this story is there was no accommodations. My dad never went to a school and said, hey, you need to give him extra time or a quiet room or let him take easier classes or change how he learns, any of that. And my dad's thought was, I am not going to adapt the world to Lucky, which was my nickname. I need to adapt Lucky to the world, because he has to learn how to operate in the real world, and he has to learn how to get through adversity, that adversity is his friend. And I, you know, Dad knew I wasn't going to be good at sports, making friends, or maybe even academically, but he said, you can be good at two things, which is hard work, and you can be good at character, which is how he defines a person.
But your dad didn't even want you to really have a diagnosis, because he was kind of concerned on, you know, slapping you with a label. But I was talking to Charlie about this because, you know, I'm reading part of the book and I wanted to see his perspective. And, you know, I think this is all spelled out in the book, Leland, but you were in torture. You didn't have friends. It was socially awkward. You were bullied severely. All these things were mounting when you were just a young kid.
Yeah, we take you through all that in Born Lucky, and, you know, the teacher in eighth grade who called me, who didn't like my painting in art class. I guess he didn't think I was going to become Picasso. And he looked at me in front of the whole art class and he says, hey, Vittert, if my dog was as ugly as you, I would shave its rear end, didn't say rear end, and make it walk backwards. Whole
That's
class
pretty
laughed,
harsh.
Right? You know, and well, welcome to eighth grade is Lucky Vittert. but I went home that night and I spent the night, as I did almost every night, talking to my dad and crying and being angry at what was happening and the unfairness and everything else. And he would leave my room after a couple of hours and he would go downstairs. I didn't know this until I wrote the book. He would then head downstairs in the dark and sit in the living room. My mom was long asleep and he'd be crying himself for hours.
Yeah.
And my mom would come out and find him. And I think the dot, dot, dot that was, is, you know, he didn't want me to be defined by a diagnosis or to be treated special. But at the same time, he also didn't want me to use it as an excuse.
And that makes sense. Born Lucky is the name of the book, A Dedicated Father, A Grateful Son, My Journey with Autism. Leland Vittert, who is a St. Louis native, is with us. So how does the autism, I don't know if you noticed, that's been in the news a little bit this week, how does that come into play, and how do you realize that that's part of what you're experiencing?
Look, one of the autism groups says that if you know a kid with autism, you know one kid with autism. So Born Lucky is not a prescription. It's not a cure. It's my story, right? And I think the lessons in it and the things my dad did and the way he approached this is something that will help a lot of people. And people who have read it, you know, gotten early copies as you have, and said, wow, this is really something different. I think it's really important. I think what I find, and now it's interesting, right, covering this issue that I've been so affected by my whole life, is when I was diagnosed, it was about 1 in 1,000 kids, maybe 1 in 1,500. Now it's 1 in 31, 3 times higher for boys and much higher in poor minority communities. And finally, someone is willing to say, we are going to ask the tough questions without fear or favor of what the answers might be of why that is. There's an explosion of autism cases. It is ruining kids and families' lives that could otherwise have extraordinary lives. Why would we not want to find those answers? You know, if right now my wife, I've only been married for 3 months, but if my wife was pregnant and you said to me, you know, hey, you check a box, the kid can be born with autism or not, or you know, have autism throughout their life or not, any parent would check no, obviously. And that doesn't diminish anyone who, you know, is afflicted by autism now or has the autism condition now. But it is obvious that it is the public health question or the scientific question of our time of why we have seen this immense explosion in cases.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It really is. And I know for someone like you, you have to even be more curious. Can you hang with me through a break?
Yes, and remind people to come to the library, St. Charles Library in St. Peter's tomorrow night.
We'll give the details when we come back on the other side. Leland Vittert is my guest. Hang in there. Oh, you know what? Sue's not sitting next to me right now, so maybe that's something I should have paid attention to because I don't know if I can go right to traffic or not. Leland, we may get to talk here a couple more minutes. Is she here? All right, we're going to take a break. Hang on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Leland Vittert is our guest, or you may call him Lucky Vittert. He's a St. Louis native, and we're going to share the Camo X angle here in just a bit. But he's got a new book out called Born Lucky, A Dedicated Father, Grateful Son, and My Journey with Autism. He's going to be tomorrow night at the St. Charles Library in St. Peter's at 7 p.m. You can go to bornluckybook.com to RSVP. So going back to the nickname, because I always heard Charlie call you Lucky Vittert, did that come about because when you were born, you write about this in the book, that the doctor said that's one lucky kid, or because you had issues with the umbilical cord being wrapped around your neck and all this stuff, right?
Look, we write this story in the book, and it comes full circle because my mom's decision saved my life. And then following that same way of thinking saved my life when I was in the Middle East. But when I was about to be born, the doctor told my mom, I think you should have a C-section. I have a bad feeling about this birth. And in the time, it was very in vogue to have a natural birth, and there was literature, you know, doctors are just sort of doing this out of convenience. But my mom said, if I'm not going to follow my doctor's advice, I should get a new doctor, not follow his advice. So they're in Barnes Hospital getting a C-section. My mom's there. My dad's there, obviously. And as I'm being born with a C-section, the doctor says, this is one lucky baby. Oh, my God, this is a lucky baby. And my mom's hand just clenches down on my dad's. You know, obviously, their child is being born. They're terrified.
Yeah.
Is everything okay? Is everything okay? And they say, yep, everything's fine. Everything's going to be fine. The nurse says, this is the luckiest baby we've ever seen. The umbilical cord was in 2 knots and around my neck. So had I been born naturally, I would have been born dead. So that was the the defining moment of me being called lucky. The doctor on the little whiteboard outside my room, you know, where they say, you know, hey, here's the kid's name and weight and when he last pooped or whatever. And the doctor crossed out Leland Vittert and wrote, call him lucky. So
oh, wow.
At that, I was lucky Vittert.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right, so you go through all these things as a kid. You know, you're born cross-eyed, you have the surgery, you don't know exactly what's going on, it's socially awkward, you don't have friends. And then how do you end up being a guy that's on Fox and now on News Nation? Let's take it back to the Charlie Brennan connection, because I did not know, and I don't know your father, Mark, but I certainly know his name. He was on Donnybrook for many, many years. And that's where you met Charlie, right?
You know, it's interesting. I don't remember exactly where I met Charlie. It may have been at Donnybrook. It may have been just around town. And, you know, Charlie one time said to me when I was very young, I mean, I would have been in junior in high school, maybe even earlier, said, hey, kid, if you ever want an internship, give me a call.
Yeah.
And I wanted to stay in St. Louis because I was rowing that summer. My junior year, my parents said, well, you should get a job. So I called Charlie. And one part of this book that I think is really important is, as I said, this is about giving hope to families. And I think a lot of people in St. Louis are going to read it and see things that they know. They know John Burroughs School. They know Annie Guns, owned by Tom Sainert, who's one of the great men of all time, who really was so kind to me when I was a young man. And obviously, you heard the stories in our previous segment about things that happened to me that were less than kind and less than helpful. And I didn't use any of the names of people who were mean to me in the book because and that includes at Fox News and other places, because this isn't about score settling. I wanted to make it clear to folks how much just being kind to a kid who's struggling means. And Charlie is at the top of that list. So when I was a junior in high school, I spent the summer of 2000 as his intern, driving around his guests, getting coffee and learning the beginnings of talk radio.
That's amazing. And that was, you know, in that era, that was, you know, media's changed quite a bit, but that was still a very, very powerful time for a station like KMOX.
Oh, it was an unbelievable moment. It was also the 2000 election, you know, it was Bush v. Gore
yeah.
going into that. So it was a remarkable time for a kid at, you know, being a junior in high school to get an exposure to 50,000 clear watt talk radio station that was the voice of St. Louis and really, you know, the voice of much of the Midwest. So it was really a wonderful moment and a way to start off in television and in journalism.
So then where do you go from there? Where'd you go to college?
I went to Northwestern.
Okay.
I worked at KTVI for a summer as well. And
you
then
worked with
did
Pertzborn,
the,
didn't you, a little bit?
Yeah,
and you still survived. You still went on to good things having worked with John Pertzborn. That in and of itself should be a chapter in the book, I think, Lucky.
Well, it's at least a couple of paragraphs.
We love John. I love John.
Pertzborn's one of the great guys of all time and was always, as I said, you know, one of the people who was really kind to me throughout everything. So it's why I'm coming back to do the event in St. Louis tomorrow night out in St. Charles. And I think the important part for me, even though I obviously went to the Middle East and have now spent way too long in Washington, almost a decade in Washington, is America sees the world as right versus wrong, not left versus right. Most people, and that's kind of what I learned, is a Midwest sensibility, not really a East Coast political sensibility. And I think on my show, on News Nation at 9 p.m. every night, that's what we really try to bring. I try to channel the discussions in Midwest America, in a place like St. Louis, where common sense reigns, where people aren't doggedly partisan. They just want things to work. They actually believe that there is a right and wrong, not just what's good for my party.
I've always advocated this will never happen. What you're doing is sort of an example of it, because I'm a big critic and someone who's talked about media bias for literally, you know, 30 years, certainly about 28 years ever since Bernie Goldberg wrote his book Bias. But I've always said, why? And some of this is resources, you know that, but wouldn't it be great to have, remember when we used to have bureaus, right? TV stations or networks did. Why wouldn't you have someone in the Midwest to talk like what you're doing about Midwest sensibilities? Because as you well know, the coasts are very different. We are different in this country. I mean, think of Europe compared to the United States, where, you know, 50 states of different countries in some ways, and that gets lost as a flyover state. So I love that you're doing that on News Nation. Now, the state of the media, very different. People are dug into their own positions. You used to work at Fox. Is this working at News Nation right now? Do people want that kind of, you know, less filtered view of the news?
Well, I will say, I never asked the chef how the cooking is, right? But people are voting with their feet. On Sunday, can't believe it was just this past Sunday,
big
I was
audience.
In Phoenix
yeah.
for Charlie Kirk's funeral. And people are speaking because our coverage, I anchored it, so I don't like to say my coverage, but our 6 or 7 hours of Charlie Kirk's funeral coverage beat both MSNBC and CNN across the board.
In the demo
in 2564 and in the overall. So people are seeing what we're doing. And I'll tell you, Mark, what I think is most telling is when I left Fox News, and it was a little bit like private school, I was invited not to return. So if you want a little insight into the cable news business, that's in Born Lucky. You can go order the book right now on Amazon and come here. Charlie and I talk about it tomorrow night in St. Peter's, and we'll get into that, the story of how I left Fox. But when I left Fox and I started News Nation, people would come on because I would call them and they thought I was still at Fox. And, you know, I'd try to book somebody, and you know what it's like to try to book politicians or whatever, Mark. And they would come on, and then they would, wait a second, you're doing primetime now? I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then they would figure it out, and they go, all right, fine, I'll do this thing, and no-name cable channel. And people come up to you like, where'd you go? I remember you from Fox. And now people are coming up to me in airports, especially in the Midwest, not so much in Washington or New York, but in the Midwest, and saying, hey, I love what you're doing on News Nation. And they'll repeat back to me, I love that you give both sides a hard time. I love that you apply the same rules to both sides.
It's too rare.
Right?
Yeah, it's rare. You know, the person that I always mention, Leland, and I almost do on a weekly basis because I still miss him so much and I miss that style of journalism, which you appear to be referring to, is Tim Russert. Because Tim Russert, every morning on Sunday mornings, would be that guy, even though he worked for Daniel Patrick Moynihan, he was a Democrat. He asked tough questions on both sides. We don't have enough of that.
Preach. And I would invite anybody who wants to see that to come along with us at News Nation, 9 p.m. Eastern. So that's 8 p.m. in St. Louis every night. I follow Chris Cuomo. And that's what we do. And I think last night was a perfect example, right? Because Comey getting indicted. And the issue to me is that lawfare is now the rule of law in America, right? Do unto others what has been done unto you. Trump ran on, I'm going to go back and get everybody who gave me. Fine. That's how America works right now. But we had a Democrat on who was just livid at how could this be done? And I said, wait a second, Congressman, I remember interviewing you so much when this was being done to Donald Trump. You didn't seem concerned then. Why are you concerned now? And he pivoted to the economy.
Of course he did. He's a politician.
And I thought, my God, like, you know, this makes the point, right? Is that, and nobody asks those basic questions, and I will say this, of both sides. And that's what we try to do every night.
Well, good luck with it, because I've been tracking News Nation. I've been rooting for you just because I think, you know, I'm a firm believer in good journalism, and certainly in good local journalism, which we don't have enough of that, as you might imagine. The resources are dried up. But Leland, it's great to have you on the show. Have fun this weekend in St. Louis. You can go to the St. Charles County Library in St. Peter's, 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Now, do you have to RSVP to come? They just need to know that they're...
Yeah, we really like people to RSVP more than anything to make sure that there's enough books and everything else and security and space.
Yeah.
So BornLuckyBook.com to RSVP, and it has all the details there so you can see it. BornLuckyBook.com. You can also look on my Twitter or Instagram at Leland Vittert. And if you can't come, which I understand, don't do it while you're driving. But when you get home, pick up your phone, go to Amazon, type in Born Lucky, and the book comes up. And really, I think people will find, especially in St. Louis, a lot of touch points and a lot of reasons, as I said, for so many families that are having a hard time. For every family that's having a hard time, a lot of hope.
I love it. Thank you so much. I'd love to meet you in person sometime. I'm going out to Evolution Festival tomorrow night, but hopefully we'll do that. And good luck with everything at News Nation. We'll get you back sometime. Brennan doesn't have a radio show anymore, so he can't go to his show. You got to come on mine.
Anytime.
All right, thanks.
You send up a flare and I'm there.
We'll do it. Thank you, Leland. We appreciate it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Say, mama, can I go out tonight? Say, mama, will it be all right?
Oh, this is His Lordship, and they're playing at Evolution Festival at Forest Park tomorrow night. We're going to fill you in on that. We may even have a band member in the studio with us, but we also have Jeff Jarrett, who is a senior VP and partner at Contemporary Productions. They're putting on Evolution Festival. Jeff, how are you?
Doing really well.
Thank you for coming in and talking about the festival. I'm very excited. Why don't you introduce our guest this afternoon, James, who's doing a cool party tonight and also playing with a band that he has called His Lordship, right?
Right. Saturday night at the festival, 6 p.m. on the neutral stage.
James Walburn, how are you?
I'm very well, sir. How are you?
I'm good. You know, usually we have a rule here on the show. It doesn't really matter what you do, but if you have an English accent, you're always welcome, because it's just so much cooler than ours. I don't know why that
is. I mean, that's one place in the world we're welcome.
No, you're welcome in a lot of places. Now, let's kind of talk about the fest overall, because I'm a fan, you know that, and I love the music, and I love the variety, and I'm really looking forward to, besides His Lordship, we'll talk about that in a sec, Sam Fender. I'm a huge Sam Fender fan. I think Sam should be a household name in the States, shouldn't he?
Sure. He's not.
I don't know that he is. You know, I think educated music fans know who he is, right?
Right.
But I don't know that he's the big act that he should be here, which is why it's pretty cool that he's coming to St. Louis. I don't even know if he's been here to St. Louis playing a club. Do you?
I don't think so. First time, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's talk about your band, James. I know you have to have some Missouri or St. Louis roots, because way back in time, you did some work with Sunvolt, and Jay lives here, so do you have a little St. Louis connection?
I do, kind of a big one, really, with Jay. Yeah, I played in Sunvolt for a time there, and I've known Jay since I was a young man.
Yeah?
Yeah, since I was about 18, so I've been coming here. We were just talking, actually. I was here the first time in about 99. At Mississippi Nights.
Oh, you did Mississippi Nights?
Yeah, so
you remember that.
Jeff's just taking me around to see where it was, where it used to be.
Legendary.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I do love this city, and I find myself coming back all the time, and it's great to be here.
Did you ever play, I'm sure you did, but do you remember playing the Blue Note in Columbia? Did
yes.
You play there? Yeah. And you probably play, you might even play the old Blue Note. I don't know, because it changed locations to downtown. I go back to the 80s when you were just a toddler.
I was.
And I was listening to bands. So let me ask you about some musical influences there, because this music that you guys do is sort of like, and I don't know, I don't want to pigeonhole you into a genre, but it's more like punk rockabilly. Is that fair? Is that a good assessment?
That's a way of looking at it.
Yeah.
That's
so I was listening, early 80s, I'm listening to a band, I'm sure you know Dave and Phil Alvin, but The Blasters,
yeah,
one of my favorite bands. And I love the rockabilly stuff, but it's a little bit harder edge.
I mean, yeah, I think the band started out more like that, and it's gone more into our own thing, you know, more sort of English, sort of more angular type stuff.
Crunchy.
We started off as a rock and roll band. You know, the band started because we were just bored. We weren't on tour, and we thought, let's get a pub gig together and play some rock and roll songs. And it just, you know, at one stage, we got quite popular doing that. We had like two of the Sex Pistols there, Chrissy Hind, and who else did we have? Slim Jim Phantom, all in the same room the same night.
Well, it's funny because I was going to mention Stray Cats too. That's the other band I was, you know, listening to back then that you guys reminded me of just a little bit. Now, you mentioned, before I get back to His Lordship, you mentioned Chrissy, this, you know, no name in rock and roll history, Chrissy Hind. So when did you start doing stuff with the Pretenders?
I would say back in, it was 2008, 17 years ago.
Yeah, how did that come about?
That came about playing in a pub, and Martin Chambers, the fantastic Martin Chambers, the drummer of the Pretenders, used to come up there and watch us play.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call one Christmas Eve once saying, we need a new guitar player. I'll speak to you next week. And that was it.
That's
awesome.
And then
I was in Palm Springs with this playing guitar in the Pretenders, and that's it. And it's, you know, carried on to this day.
Shamefully, I've never seen the Pretenders, but I've heard that Chrissy's still killing it, right?
I think so. We just finished up a long couple of years out on the road, and she's better than ever. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about this music festival, what we're going to see tomorrow night with his lordship, because that's going to be a fun fest. Jeff, what do you want to fill in the blanks in here on tickets and VIP availability or anything like that?
Yeah, Evolution Fest STL. Tickets are available for Saturday or Sunday single day passes or the weekend pass. It's just a great, you know, cheap way to see 30 bands, you know, and if you like five or six of them, then it's well worth, you know, buying a ticket.
Absolutely.
You know, especially the rock and roll side of things with his lordship and the Kills and the Hives, Public Enemy. They're all on the same day on Saturday. So it's just a great way to go explore. I think I'm a big proponent of going early and catching bands you've never heard of.
Well, especially, I would say, James, with your band, too. It's, you know, not that, and I've been trying to do a little homework this week, listening mm-hmm. to the records, and I really mm-hmm. like it. But this is clearly, you guys are the type of music where you could walk up to the stage. You don't have to know the songs, and you're going to feel the energy and feel the rock and roll.
That's the point of the band.
Yeah. And yeah. I think it is, and that's why I can't wait to see you live, because you can hear the live sound in the, you know, it's GarageBand, crunchy guitars and, yeah. and all that stuff, and you can hear the energy with the really, really quick tempo, too, on the drums.
It is, yeah, we have to, he has to be on it.
Yeah.
But it's fun, it, you know, it's meant to be that. We started it to not be a chin-stroking band. You know, we want everyone to have a good time at the end of it and come
I've
away
never
going,
heard that saying. Is that just like where the audience, I'm doing it right now, is like, yeah, what's
exactly.
that? What's that band all
exactly.
about, right? Okay,
exactly.
So a little bit more defined.
No, it's not. It's meant to be a good time, and you're meant to come away going, man, I love
yeah.
that band.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
that's
what
really we had to,
what do you feel, because you mentioned the clubs and the pubs and stuff like that, how, music festivals, a little different, right, to catch people's
yes.
attention. How do you approach the show differently with a festival?
Yeah, I mean, you want to put in, you want to make it, and you know, you've got an hour, you know, perhaps.
Yeah, and the so sets are a little shorter sometimes.
So you've got to make it, our songs are pretty short, so
yeah.
you know, we still, it takes a lot of songs to fill up an hour, but you just got to make sure it's all pretty banging for the full hour, really. You can't, you've just got to give people, you've got to show the best of yourself in an hour.
It's funny you say...
No chin-stroking moments.
No. It's funny you say short songs, because I've always been a fan of the two-minute song, or in your case, the two-and-a-half-minute song. There's an art to that, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's actually harder than you think.
I know that.
Yeah.
And here's the way I know it. The only way I know that, just the little perspective, is I have to do commercials that are 30 and 60 seconds.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the 30 seconds are harder to write,
yeah.
because you're trying to get stuff in there. So that's not exactly the same,
well,
but I believe you.
No. It is, really. I mean, the thing about it is, I was thinking about the Beatles, you know, the first Beatles records.
Sure.
And they're not even 2 minutes.
I know.
And they've taken you everywhere you need to be.
Yes.
In that amount of time. And that is amazing. Chuck Berry, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So in order to do that, it does take a lot of work to get it down to that and not waffle on. And, you know, rock and roll's hard. It's not as easy as people think.
I believe you. Jeff, here's what I'd love to see. And maybe we can arrange this. We'll just do it here. Just because I love the club atmosphere, is his lordship should do the regular set at Evolution Festival tomorrow night. And then go to the Duck Room at Blueberry Hill and do an after show, just because I think it would be cool. Although, tonight...
How much?
I was going to say.
I'll need some money in a suitcase.
This is the segue. No, but tonight you have kind of a VIP party with James and some of the other folks, right?
Yeah, it's the Evolution pre-party. It's to benefit Music Gives for St. Jude's Kids. So it's $20. His Lordship's playing, Dagger Polyester's playing, Greg Griffin, a friend of ours from Manchester's playing, and there's like 10 or 12 of the acts from either St. Louis or that are on the festival are going to jump in. So James and the guys have had to learn, I don't know, 20 new songs,
yep.
something like that. So
you're going to jam a little bit too, is what you're saying. Awesome.
Yeah.
Tickets for that are, and they're not very expensive, $20, right? If you want to try to show up tonight, what do you need to do?
Go to the Golden Record STL, buy your tickets on eTix. Again, they're $20. All the proceeds go to St. Jude's. The Kills are playing, McKinley James, Trackstar, the DJ from Run the Jewels, who lives here in St. Louis. And then they're bringing out some St. Louis favorites, Nadine, the Bottle Rockets, members of Sunvolt. So it's going to be a show completely different to what James and the guys are doing on Saturday.
You know the Bottle
night.
Rockets at all, James?
I love the Bottle Rockets.
That's one of my favorite bands of all time.
I love
and
them.
And you still can't find, Jeff, I don't know if you know, maybe you can ask this weekend, but you still cannot find that one record, Brooklyn Side, on any streaming services. It's ridiculous.
We were just talking about that. So
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you might hear one of those songs tonight at the Golden Record.
That'll be fun. All right, there's a little hook for me because I'm a big Bottle Rockets fan. Festus, Missouri. Thanks, guys, for coming in. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
Yeah,
we were talking about Evolution Festival. This is the reason that I am most excited. This guy, Sam Fender, his latest album is called People Watching. This is the title track from that, and this dude is amazing. He fills stadiums overseas. He's from the UK, and I think St. Louis is really, really lucky to get him tomorrow night at Evolution Festival. So go see Sam Fender. I don't know how I would compare the genre, but it's just good guitar-based rock and roll, good old-fashioned rock and roll. So he's one of the headliners before Sublime tomorrow night. You got big plans this weekend? You're
Sounds
not going
great.
Out to the music festival, are
nope,
you?
Nope, we're final moving.
Yeah, but that's not a bad feeling, though, right?
No, no it's
you're
not.
Getting things together
yes.
at the new house. I feel, honestly, because I told this story about the smoke detector earlier, I feel like there's all kinds of little things. Like, I got the
yes.
mark on the carpeting from the dog or the bunny. Like, my house is falling apart, but, like, in little ways.
Yeah.
And then
you
kind of feel overwhelmed. Like, well, what do I address first?
Yeah, I get it. You really do have to prioritize.
Right. So the first thing I need is someone with a big ladder from my neighborhood to lend it to me so I can figure out the smoke detector issue.
I'm sure they will.
Now, Sue, I should not admit this, but I will. The roundtable today was particularly challenging for the host.
Why?
Well, the host didn't do a lot of homework for the roundtable because he was watching the Ryder Cup all morning, and Dan Reardon's here with an update. And by the way, it wasn't the most uplifting morning, was it, Dan? How are you?
I'm fine, but obviously the American team is not fine. I said yesterday they needed to win the opening matches, and they lost 3-1, and 3-1 wasn't even a close estimation of how lopsided. Out of 52 holes played in the morning, the Americans won 8. They lost 18 holes in those morning matches. They rallied in the afternoon. They finished the day 3 points back, 5.5 to 2.5. But Keegan Bradley has a huge problem on his hands because really only 2 Americans played well today. And Luke Donald has at least 6 or 7 players who are right in place. They haven't announced the pairings for tomorrow. Expect Luke Donald to run almost everybody out who was there in the morning, with the possible exception of Justin Rose. And I couldn't tell you who Keegan Bradley is going to send out.
Well, we know, though, in the world of professional golf, you can go out on one Thursday or Friday and have an amazing round and shoot 6 under, and then the next day you're, you know, even or over par. So we can see some, you know, maybe some turnaround tomorrow. But, like, even Bryson didn't even win his match, or is that one not over yet?
No, that's over. Bryson was shut out. Scheffler was shut out. And that's the problem they face is, who do you have that you can count on? And you're right, there's a lot of golf left to be played. But what's more worrisome, I think, Mark, is that if this changes a little bit, it shapes up as a very lopsided Sunday singles, because you don't have more than a handful at best of Americans who are on form right now. And so you look at 12 matches on Sunday, and right now it looks to be heavily weighted toward the Europeans. But as you said, tomorrow could change. I thought the golf was not particularly good today, quite honestly. They played lift clean in place. The greens were soft. And it really wasn't spectacular golf. We didn't get any really huge roars going on or animated gestures until late in the afternoon. And a great match in the afternoon that came down to Cantlay and McIlroy's group. And that was a great battle, and they took it all the way to the final putt that Rory just barely missed, and they ended up in a tie. So maybe we see something tomorrow, but it's going to be a hill for the U.S. to climb.
So how does our captain, you know, or both captains kind of adjust for tomorrow? In you know, obviously Keegan in particular, what do you do? Do you do something differently to try to mix it up, or what does he do strategy-wise?
Yeah, I think what he has to do is he's got to forget any friendships, any concerns about being nice to his players. He's got to throw the people that need to be on the sideline and leave them on the sideline. Russell Henley should probably not see the light of day tomorrow.
And okay, there you go.
I think he has to bury a few people and hold them back for today and go up with a heavy lineup. He's got to go with a strong player playing with Scottie Scheffler. He's got to send Cantlay and Schauffele out again because they played well. He's just got to go with what he thinks are his 8 best players and not worry about resting players in the afternoon or the singles on Sunday. He needs to get a win in the morning and get back into it, and then emotionally and physically, maybe you have something you can do the rest of the way.
But if this thing kind of stays status quo into the afternoon tomorrow with the points, there's not a whole lot of hope that the Americans can come back, right?
Absolutely, Mark. In fact, if it goes to that in the afternoon, I think most of the viewers in the television world are going to be checking out the college football lineup instead of the writers.
Well, and that's unfortunate because Sunday, if it's close, Sunday could be fun. That's where all the drama could certainly occur. So, look, I'm going to hold out hope that this turns around. You're not wrong about this morning not being the best golf. And, you know, the course was the greens were soft, so they were laying some balls close to the pin. Now, there's some pin placements that I understand could change that can make things very different for these players into the weekend.
And also, history is a little bit of a hope for the Americans because the Euros came back at Celtic Manor in an identical, almost identical circumstance and won the Ryder Cup several years ago. So you can have that kind of turnaround, but what they need is they need their good players to play well. You know, Bryson DeChambeau today showed he's longer than everybody else in the game, but he also hits it farther from the hole with every approach shot. I mean, it was just not a good day.
Maybe we should have had Trump tee off today. He was out there giving high fives to everyone, you know, patting Bryson on the back and touring the course. So he's a pretty good golfer. Maybe Keegan has to consider that. Dan, you have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of the Ryder Cup, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you, Mark.
Enjoy it. Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, let's just give this here to President Trump because we got a shutdown that's coming up for the government next week in all likelihood. Who's the blame going to go on?
We're going to see, but the radical left Democrats want to shut it down. I mean, it's up to them. We have a great economy going. They want to shut it down because they want to give billions, ultimately trillions of dollars to illegal migrants, people that came into our country illegally. Some of those people are criminals, but they came into our country illegally, and they want to give them the essential over years, trillions of dollars, and our people aren't going to stand for it. They also want to have open borders. They want to have men and women sports. They want to have transgender for everybody. These people are crazy, the Democrats. So if it has to shut down, it'll have to shut down. But they're the ones that are shutting down.
Well, we'll see where the media places the blame. I think we know the answer to that. Sue, have a great weekend.
You too, Mark.
Enjoy the weather. Enjoy Evolution Fest. I'll go out with little Sam Fender. He's going to be awesome tomorrow night.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.